Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show rolls on Talk Radio 930 WTAD and FM 103.3. And we are here today with the incoming mayor of Quincy, Linda Moore, and the outgoing mayor, the current mayor of Quincy, Mike Trope. So glad to have them both here in studio to talk about the future of the city they both love. First, let's start with ladies first. Linda Moore, hello. Glad to have you here.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Nice to have you here. And Mayor Mike Trope, you've been a regular at this time slot for a couple of years now on the Mary Griffith Show.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
It is wonderful. Plans for the future, Mayor Mike Trope. What will you be doing with yourself come May 2nd? What is that your
Actually,
last day?
Actually, no, May 5th would be the
May
final
5th,
day.
Mayor-elect Moore
will be sworn in on the 5th and have her first city council meeting that evening.
Will it be a signee-die thing where you have
we
to close out?
We will do that May 1st.
Oh, that's so May 1st. Okay.
We will have a signee-die May 1st, and I'll still, you know, those meetings are generally, it takes longer, I think, to call roll than anything that has to be done. So that I don't expect to be a long meeting, but whatever needs to be done, we're handling.
Well, I'll be in Las Vegas, so it won't matter to me.
Well, don't spend all your money.
And then on May 5th, Linda Moore will be sworn in as the new mayor.
Actually, we are working on an event for Sunday afternoon, May 4th, so that we can make it more of a family event and do the oath of office that Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
So
okay.
We're still working, finalizing some of the details. We've got to get the permits in order. But
now,
it looks like we're going to have
good.
That.
Yeah. It's good to have a nice, peaceful transition.
Yes.
Because if he denies the permit, it wouldn't be very fun. You're not thinking of doing that, are you, Mike?
Oh, I'm not the one that has to do that. So.
Right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the carryover projects. You know, I just have to tell you, it is so funny how few people, it's not funny, ha-ha, it's terrible, really, how few people really understand the workings of government. Somebody the other day was complaining that Linda Moore had dug up the street in front of their house. The minute she became mayor, she had to dig up the street in front of my house. I said, well, A, number one, she's not the mayor yet, and A, number two, that was probably planned months ago, and I don't think even Mike Trope deliberately, you know, evilly dug up. So there's a lot of projects that it doesn't matter who the mayor of Quincy is. These things are going to go forward.
Sure.
So,
and
Mayor
well,
Trope,
it's construction season,
yeah,
right? So our engineering department, Public Works, have been going out for requests for proposals for, you know, since January, and they get awarded, and now the weather's changed. Constructions. I mean, there's very few streets you can drive by right now and not see a road closure because they're doing something.
Yeah, it's a lot. And in fact, as you said when you were highlighting and touting the accomplishments in your term, Mayor Trope, we've done more with roads in the last couple of years than we've done maybe in the last decade combined. A lot of that is because we got a lot of extra help with maybe some ARPA money. But by and large, the road progress has been outstanding.
I'd rather talk about that as we've got a good start on it.
Yeah.
Because there is so much more work that needs to be done. Our infrastructure has really been ignored for quite some time. So between our streets, but our water, our sewer lines, we've got an aged infrastructure that it needs to be taken care of.
Leon Kowalski, city engineer, years and years ago, sounded the alarm bell. That was at least two decades ago. He said, he told me as a news reporter, he said, you just watch. He said, we are going to have failures that are going to start to crop up simultaneously. And now we're seeing that. We're seeing that we've got some failures. One of the things I watched the television news every once in a while just to make sure that they're doing a good job. And Kevin McLean, who is the director of like central services and directs the road crews locally, he was on. They were filling potholes, and he said, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk yet with the incoming mayor, but he said our work is going to be continuing. We're going to be filling potholes. We're going to be doing all of this. The work of the city doesn't really change no matter who the mayor is. What is already set in place is going to be set in place. Mayor, future Mayor Moore, you don't anticipate any big rapid changes in anything that the Trope administration has done, do you?
Not really. I mean, we're going to keep doing the good things that we need to keep doing. You know, that's for sure. You will probably see some changes over the course of the next couple of years, basically because I envision the finances are going to change somewhat. So we're going to have to do more with less. We're going to have to think different than maybe we've done all along. We're going to have to be creative. You know, how can we deliver better service or more service at a cheaper price point? So those are some of the questions that will be addressed with the staff. I know I don't know a lot of things, but I know we have people on staff who do. So we're going to have to really look at how we do business and how we operate and make some adjustments as the economy changes.
One of the changes that's going to happen is Jeff Mays left as kind of the second in command, not really an elected office, but somebody that the mayor appoints to be a liaison, an administrative person. And Jeff Mays has left the post now. He's been gone for weeks. Linda Moore, are you going to have someone in that capacity, or how do you see your administration filling that role?
That's one position that I may change slightly. I will have a lieutenant. The role of that lieutenant may change slightly. And again, it's a matter of how do we get more done with less. So we will have someone in that lieutenant role. It may not be the same as the role that we have known it as in the past.
Okay. Moving forward, as one administration comes to a close and a new administration starts, Mayor Tropa, obviously you invited Linda to be
sure
on the show today because this is your time slot. It's been a fairly amicable transition. I'm sure you disagreed on a few things while you were running, so it's, you know, you don't have the same ideas. But some of the things that are hanging over the head, but they're really aldermanic decisions because, again, the mayor doesn't run the city. It's a vote of the aldermen. I'd like to get both of your thoughts, and I'll start with Mayor Trope first, on two things that are pending. One immediately, which is a continuation of the food and beverage tax. How big it will be, how long it will last, and what it will go for, and then we'll move into grocery tax. So let's start with food and beverage tax.
Sure. I'm a proponent of extending the food and beverage tax. I think it's important. We're going through last week and Monday, this next meeting, examples of this is how that money has been spent, and this is what it's brought into our community. I think as people take a look at that over the last 3 to 4 years, what actually happened, I think they're going to say, yeah, that was very good. As example, most recently, in the last, 3-4 weeks, we had that billiard convention that was here for a week. They spent in Quincy over $1 million the week they were here, okay, in hotels, food, you know, bar business, et cetera. And that's a huge economic boost to our community, the small business owners, et cetera. So, and yes, we get food and beverage tax, we get hotel motel tax out of that. So part of that helps recycle itself. And so, yes, I would like to see that extended. Some aldermen are thinking we probably need a 5-year, to have it, if you will, sunset or come up for renewal again. And I think, again, as long as the real focus of that is to help increase visitors and tourism, because that brings in other dollars, which helps the general fund pay for some infrastructure and other operating, you know, needs that the community has.
What I know Jason Parrott, the director of planning, said that, well, we don't really need any more big box encouragement. So part of the money that was spent on food and beverage tax, because the big boxes have mostly been filled, but there could be a big box that comes empty. You know, we don't know with these tariffs. Yeah. I mean, car dealerships could be in serious trouble in a couple of months as far as, you know, selling, you know, having new car inventory or something that anybody wants to buy. So you never can know what's going to happen. It's mostly tourism focused the way it's being presented now, but the council would have discretion to spend it in any way they like. Is that my understanding?
The council always has discretion. So, any expense of $7,500 or greater must receive advance approval by the city council before the check's cut.
So why not use it for streets or something like that? Is that something if you were going to be continuing as mayor, is that something you would have been in favor of?
I think if there's additional money above what we need to continue to drive our visitors and tourism and those activities, yes, I think doing something on a capital expense side would be prudent.
But it's not the primary focus.
It shouldn't be the primary focus. Where today it was established that the food and beverage was to be the economic engine to help recruit retailers to fill those big box stores.
And to keep that tax going, because Target pays, everybody keeps
paying
in.
Well, it brings more sales tax. Yeah. Our sales taxes are up the last 3 years over $2 million a year, and it stayed at that level. Now, will it continue? We hope so. But again, if you have more visitors, sports teams coming in for different events, they do shop while they're here.
And future Mayor Moore, how do you feel about the food and beverage tax?
I am a proponent as well. You know, we agree on that. We should keep the food and beverage tax. Over 40% of it comes from people who live outside the city limits. And those are people that drive on our roads, drink our water while they're here, and use our infrastructure. So I think it's a good way to give some relief to our residents who are here. A couple of things about the food and beverage tax. When it came out of the Sustainability Committee, it was supposed to be a tax for 5 years. Well, it was supposed to start on May 1st of 2020. It didn't because of COVID. So we actually didn't start that tax until January 1st of 2021. So we still haven't even met that five-year plan that it was originally meant for. I hope the council will vote to extend it. And in terms of any sunset, the council should be reviewing it every year, just like they do with hotel-motel tax. And at their discretion, could they change it up or down? Absolutely. But I think an annual review of how we use that money and reviewing the return on investment we've received is something we need to do, and we need to share that with our food and beverage restaurant and bar owners who are helping to collect and remit that money for us.
Well, Greg Sharling, former owner of several McDonald's, his family owned even more than he did by the time he retired. He got up at the city council and said, yeah, I was against this when it first started, but now I see what it has done. So I think a lot of times people do. They're concerned. Anytime you hear the word tax, there's always a concern. How is this going to affect me? How is this going to affect my business? The truth of the matter is, I'm getting ready to go on vacation, and I did not call ahead and ask what the hotel motel tax was in any town that I'm staying in. I simply do not care. I'm going there.
And make sure you sit down when you see your bill, because Las Vegas has one of the biggest.
Yeah, well, and they're smart. But fortunately, I'm in the prepaid plan, so I won't have to worry about that. Grocery tax a little bit farther off, so I don't want to talk too much about that. But here's the problem. I feel so sorry for Sherry Ray. People think she's a magician. She's been there 25 years, and they always say, Sherry will figure out a way for this to happen. But the grocery tax, it's a little bit farther down the pipe to be voted on. You won't have anything unless, as a private citizen, to say about that, Mr. Trope. What about the grocery tax? When you were running for mayor, Linda Moore, you said, yeah, you're a little bit reticent about that because, I mean, food is something everybody has to have, whereas a alcoholic beverage or a restaurant meal is not something you have to have. Do you support the grocery tax? And if you don't, how are you going to make up the money?
I would say the verdict's still out on that. For this first year, we really only lose a month of that money just because there's a delay in receiving it. Groceries are a necessity. People have to put food on the table. And I don't like the idea of taxing necessities because it's forced. So I would love to see the grocery tax go away. However, just like the food and beverage tax, a great percentage of the grocery tax comes from people who live outside the city. So just like the food and beverage tax, if we can get tax revenues from people who don't live here, that offers our residents some relief. So I would probably say I'm on the fence. Somebody's going to have to convince me that it's the right thing to do to keep that tax. I'm not in favor of any new taxes. I think we're taxed enough. So I don't want to see any new taxes brought on, but we really need to look at the long-term budget and the forecast for where we're going to be with all of the other tax revenues that come into the general fund.
We're talking today with Linda Moore, the future mayor of Quincy, and with Mike Trope, who is the outgoing mayor, and this transition will happen in May. Again, I don't want to dwell a long time on it, but this $35 million or so sports complex that this gentleman wants to be a private-public partnership, you know, we have the Oakley-Lindsay Center sitting there. They could have volleyball. They used to. I know the transition from the courts is a problem. We had the K&L Arena, and now the public schools bought that. People hear about these things, and sometimes they don't know too much about them, and they wonder, is this a good idea or is this a bad idea? It seems to me that Quincy is so unique because we have a park district, and so we have a separate body that you would think would be involved in things like that, but they don't have a food and beverage tax, and they don't have a grocery tax, and they've said, wow, you know, we don't really want to build a whole lot of new stuff because then we have to maybe get stuck maintaining it. So when it comes to riverfront development, which the Riverfront Development Authority yesterday just said, yes, we've got another year to try to make this splash pad. Laura Sievert Heseltine is still pushing for the amphitheater. We've got this private group that wants to build pickleball courts. They're not coming to the city for anything with that. And then this indoor arena. How do you decide what the will of the people is when people, these things are kind of sprung upon them in a sense, and they don't really have a lot of information to make a judgment about. We'll start with you, Mayor Trope.
Well, you know, Quincy's a family town, and if you, anybody that has children, even in the elementary grades, or that has any interest in sports, it doesn't take long before they're on even traveling teams. Okay, and it's a, I mean, I've watched that. I mean, my kids are adults now, you know, independent, but we watched, you know, two of my three boys go through and really big into the sports things. It continues. And a lot of the families, soccer, baseball, even football, you know, the basketball, volleyball, all these teams, they're traveling all over, you know, the Midwest, or even beyond that in some cases. When you take a look at these big events, we're in an island again where we're underserved. And that's where I think this outside group approached us about a year ago to say, could we show you a plan that we think would make sense for your community?
They came looking for us.
Correct.
We didn't go looking for them.
Correct.
Okay. So they saw an opportunity.
Yes. And so we said, sure, we'd like to. And then through that process, we know Canton, Missouri was looking at doing something. We knew we had the Oakley-Lindsay Center that had been doing something. We've checked with both QU as well as John Wood. We talked with the Park District. We talked with Monica Hinkamper at the racket and pickleball facility. What do you, you know, each of these groups that I met with, what's your interest? What do you think? Nobody had interest to really get into a unique sporting facility because of the complications, you know, surrounding that. This group, well, you know, you did run at Oakley-Lindsay Center indoor soccer and that. Well, those tournaments are going to be mainly on the weekends. Oakley-Lindsay Center is now busy virtually every weekend. There's very few weekends, some in the summer, that you could still get time at Oakley Lindsay Center. So they have filled that up. You can't really have the sports facilities being busy when students are in classes, okay? So it becomes an issue. And under this proposal, as you looked, there was like 37 weekends would be tournaments, and that would come close to doubling the visitors and tourism dollars that are coming into Quincy and Adams County today. Well, those added dollars for food and beverage and for hotel motel tax would be significant. So from that standpoint, I think it's worthwhile. Now, what's the investment that's required to do it? Do I think government should pay, you know, 100% of it? No, I don't. But since the government can benefit from it, I think it's something that is worthwhile taking a look at, because the one tax that most of us dislike, or the one that we dislike the greatest, is property taxes. Okay, so whatever we can do to work to minimize property taxes, I think the taxpayers would be thrilled to listen to.
Okay. Future Mayor-elect Moore, you were at that meeting, I think, when that proposal was there. And what do you think about this private-public partnership? Is this something that excites you?
I don't think taxpayer dollars should be used to create a facility where a private entity is going to make a profit. I think there's a way to structure a public-private partnership, and I'd like to see us take a look at what we have already and work with the county and with the park district and with the school district and John Wood and QU and come up with a plan. I'd like to appoint a sports commission or a sports council that the first thing they can look at is, okay, what do we have? What's the inventory of spaces available? And how can we use or package some of our existing facilities to do some sports? I think the big thing we're missing is indoor volleyball and basketball courts. Coaches tell me all the time, there's no space available for practices. So we need space during the week for practice. And then if we could have weekend tournaments, even if it's just one weekend a year that our families don't have to travel somewhere else. I mean, I know they're spending $600, $700, $800 every weekend. They're traveling on Friday night. They're playing games all day Saturday, all day Sunday, get back late Sunday night, and then go to work the next morning. So parents are exhausted. And if you have two or three kids, it's even worse. So we need an indoor facility. I just don't think taxpayer dollars should fund it if a private entity is going to make a profit from it. But I see possibilities for existing space that could be converted or used.
Okay. The problem is, you know, and again, I'm really an outsider compared to the advanced experience and knowledge you guys have, but like, the park district would be the person who would do that, but they don't have any, they don't have a mechanism to raise extra money. In fact, they took $300,000 from the city to build the junior ball field, you know, make it ready for 11-year-olds, and it seems to be returning on its investment. The school district doesn't have any other way to make money except property taxes. So the problem is the city's the only one that could have a revenue stream or could enact a revenue stream. You're smiling, but I mean, where am I wrong in this? I'm not saying the city should do it. I'm just saying, how is the park district going to do it? How is the school district going to do it?
There are some things already in the works.
Okay.
Conversations started. Oh. And I think the meeting last week got people talking about how and where and what. And so now we just need to bring the right players to the table to really put a strategic plan together.
Okay.
And make it make sense financially for all entities involved.
Okay. Stay tuned. Since I don't have kids and I don't care about volleyball and basketball, I vote no on everything that has to do with children. I don't want children to be happy. No, that would be wrong. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation. Don O'Brien is sitting in the green room. What do you think the chances? You're a betting woman. What do you think the chances O'Brien's going to get on today? Zero. Maybe not. We'll see. We'll take a break up into the Ursa Farmers Cooperative and see what's up next. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Hopefully, we'll have many more conversations with Linda Moore as she takes the reins of mayor. We'll talk to her about what she thinks about housing in our community and all of those things, but she'll have her time. Today, I want to say thank you to Mike Trope. You have been the most cooperative of any of the mayors I've ever worked with. I just want to let you know that. Maybe it's because I'm older and I'm not as demanding and strange as I was when I was younger, but you know, it's really been a joy working with you, and I also look forward to working with Linda Moy, and all the mayors have been, you know, good mayors. I mean, everybody wants the best for their community. So Mike Trope, as you leave, you know, how do you feel about the future of this community? We talked a little bit. Everybody knows there's a financial problem kind of looming in the next 2 to 3 years. Well, how do you think the city should handle that?
Well, I think the outlook for our community is strong. If you look at where we've come in my 4 years, coming out of COVID, having a lot of empty big box stores in our retail corridor, you know, we fill those. We've got a lot of activity going on in the community. The economy locally is quite healthy. Okay, healthcare is our largest industry. Our education, from elementary all the way to secondary and postgraduate programs. Look at what QU's adding, additional graduate programs. That's going to even help grow what the community is able to provide educational tools for anyone that wants that kind of education. Industry is booming, expanding. Not only new businesses that are coming to town, but we also have, fourth, fifth generation businesses that are expanding and continue to grow. So all those signs are work. We have to manage, the city the best we can. But, you know, I'm confident that's going to happen.
Just as we can't, you know, maybe build a sports complex if we don't have a revenue stream, housing and the workforce continue to be problems, and everybody looks to the mayor to solve those problems as the leader, really, in the tri-state area. The Quincy being sure. The largest town, you know, the mayor of Quincy carries a lot of clout with what will our whole area do. And it is, we've done some things. We've had some private public partnerships with this $1 million that Adams County gave
yes.
to help build housing. And it's worked. And we've brought new families in by paying them literally to live here. And it's worked. And we've brought new tourism devices here by incentivizing that. And it's worked. So those kind of things, I guess, in the future, we're going to have to keep incentivizing some of these things, because without that, some other community is just going to take that from us.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. But, you know, housing is probably the number one issue facing our community, and it's what somewhat's limiting our growth.
Yes.
And so if we can, and we have like that developer who was looking at 49th and Columbus Road, the good thing is he's still evaluating alternative sites here in our community, and we hope he's going to be able to find another location that is zoned, you know, residential, that he can build the facility that he has planned. He's going to have to tweak it depending on exactly what location, but there's at least interest from some of these, not only local developers, but some other out-of-town developers. And fortunately, we need all of them.
We need the hotels. Did it close April 11th? Did they buy?
No, they were, no, but it was delayed 30 days. So
okay.
May 11th is when they make the decision, because they had the fire at the Welcome mm-hmm. Inn. The owners or the sellers say, look, we'll give you 30 more days. They thought that was perfect. So they would decide by May 11th. And then if they were going to do that, they would then close by June 11th. So I believe that is still on the right course.
Well, it's interesting because in so many ways, you've accomplished so much in streets, you've accomplished so much in housing, you've accomplished so much even in hotels that have been built, you know, in a sense, and started. And yet, it's just never enough. It seems never enough. So thank you for your efforts. Linda Moore's got big problems to tackle, and they're not gonna be solved overnight, because you admit Mike Trump's a pretty smart guy, and he did everything he could to try to solve some of these problems. So they are going to be ongoing problems in your administration.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that my administration will start with is taking care of what we have now. Because if we hadn't added what we've added in the last 4 years, we'd be in a world of hurt. Now we have to keep everybody. You know, those that have been here through three or four generations and those that just came here 3 or 4 months ago. So we need to keep all of them and keep them healthy and vibrant.
Okay. We're going to say goodbye to Mike Trope, hopefully not for the last time. Please keep us posted. I want to know what's next on your career. And Linda Moore, we'll talk about when your regular appearance will be on the Mary Griffith Show, because it's a command performance.
Sounds great.
You can tell Mike how bossy. I think Linda may know, but Mike can tell you how bossy I am. And Don O'Brien, if you still hung around, we're going to give him 2 minutes. That's all he's going to get today, but at least I'll fulfill my promise that I had him on the Mary Griffith Show today. We'll be right back. He is here, and he has 2 minutes to state his case. It is Don O'Brien from the Better Business Bureau. Thank you for being so gracious with our outgoing mayor and our incoming mayor. But the Better Business Bureau is concerned about scams. And one of the scams, they're not all scams, but one scam that can be going around is, hey, pay us a fee, and I'll guarantee that I'll get your kids all these scholarships for college, and I'll make sure that they won't have any of this student loan debt, because I'm going to take care of this for you for a fee.
Got to be careful with those. They'll contact you out of the blue. They pose as financial aid representatives, acting like they're the government or university. They may have words like national or federal in their name. And, yeah, they're going to give you guaranteed money, Mary. Wouldn't you love to have guaranteed scholarship money?
I'd go back to college if I could get it paid
right?
for.
And they're going to, but all it costs you is a low, low fee of $299 or $599 or whatever that might be. So, you know, be careful. Check for the federal aid first. Obviously, I have one that's in college. We fill out the FAFSA every year. The Federal Student Aid FAFSA is what that's called.
And you can get help filling that out free of charge at any college.
Correct. What,
John Wood will do it for you.
Yes.
You don't have to be going to John Wood.
Correct. Ask trusted sources. Do your research. If you see something, investigate it. Ask trusted sources like your counselor. If you have a high school student right now, they have counselors that can tell you what's real and what's fake. Get references. If you plan to use some type of paid service, ask for names of families in your community who've used that service in the last year so you can discuss their experiences with that business.
And so that's very important. The other thing is door-to-door salesman season is upon us. If they don't show you a City of Quincy business license.
Or Fort Union folks in Hannibal, same thing. You've got to have that solicitor's permit. I was talking with Zach Bemis, the Quincy Elder Services Officer, recently. He said they're getting a lot more reports of these. So be careful. I'm not trying to paint every door-to-door salesperson as a bad actor, because they're not. There are many of them that are legitimate. However, there's some bad actors in the pool, too. So just, never let anybody in your residence. Always ask for as much information about that business you can. If they're doing any high-pressure sales pitch, be careful.
Be careful and don't feel pressured. Thank you very much, Don O'Brien.
Thank you.